Jaya Radha Madhaguma Kunya Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhaguma Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Piribhara Dhani Gopi Jana Vallabha Piribhara Dhani Sodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Shimad, his divine grace of Ayachanda and Bhaktivedanta, Gosami Marshila Prupad Kijai, Iskan Founder Acharya Shila Prupad Kijai, Ananda Goti Voishna Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Shila Hoyadas Thakur Kijai, Rem Se Gahoshi Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha, Shri Vasudhi Gaur, Bhaktivinda Gajai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Govagavada Sayam Kun Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Machuradham Kijai, Namadeepdham Kijai, Jagadatha Sami Kijai, Yamanamai Kijai, Shrimati Glasi Dev Kijai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol, all glorious he assembled devotees, all glorious he assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Okay, so before class, we'd like to welcome a lot of different people. Radha Vinod from Split, Croatia. That's in Europe. Madhava Sangini from New Zealand. Denise Thiao from here in Sydney. Madhu Nasundari from Melbourne. Dira from Jacksonville, Florida. Saul from Brazil. Pretty good. Ashwin from Buckinghamshire. That's actually in England. Arindam. Michael Kovach from Austria. Govinda Mohini from here. Shamasaki from the farm, New Govardhan, and Dira Prashanta from Bosnia, Lila Shakti from the United States, and that's it right now. So we got people from all over the world. Pretty good, isn't it? So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 7th Chapter, Text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yajnye cha pradama grihe vija devahucham stribihi salam nababir atmagatim swamatre uche yatma shamalam Guna, Sangha, Pankam, Asmin, Viduya, Kapilasya, Gatim, Prapede. Yogye Chuk, Kardam, Grahe, Dvijadeva, Hucham. Sri Bhi Samam Navabhiratma Gatim Swamatre.
Sri Bhi Samam Navabhiratma Gatim Swamatre.
Ucheya Yatma Shamalam Gunasanga Pankam. Asmin Viduya Kapilasya Gatim Prapede. Jagnye chakarza magrake dvija deva hutyam.
Jagnye chakarza magrake dvija deva hutyam.
Strivi samam navabhiri atma gatim swamatre.
Strivi samam navabhiri atma gatim swamatre.
Ucheya yatma shamalam gunasanga pankam. Asmin viduya kapilasya gatim prapede. Jagne cha karna magrake dvija deva hutyam. Sri vita mam navabhiratma gatim swamatre. Uche yatma shamalam gunasanga pankam.
Uche yatma shamalam gunasanga pankam.
Asmin viduya kapilasya gatim prapede.
Asmin viduya kapilasya gatim prapede.
Okay. Anyone?
Jagnye jagarna magrihe dvijadeva hutyam.
Jagnye took birth. Cha also. Kardama. Prajapati named Kardama.
Prajapati named Kardama.
Grihe.
In the house of.
Vija.
O Brahmana.
Devahutyam.
Devahutyam.
In the womb of Devahuti.
Srivihi.
By women.
Samam,
accompanied by. Navabhihi, by nine. Admagatim,
spiritual realization.
Swamatre,
unto his own mother.
Uche,
uttered.
Iya, by which. Atma Shamalam,
coverings of the spirit soul.
Guna Sangha,
associated with the modes of nature.
Pankam,
mud.
Asmin,
this very life.
Viduya,
being washed off.
Kapilasya,
of Lord Kapila.
Gatim,
liberation.
Prapede,
achieved.
Translation.
The Lord then appeared as the Kapila incarnation, being the son of the Prajapati Brahmana Kardama and his wife Devahuti, along with nine other women, sisters. He spoke to his mother about self-realization, by which in that very lifetime she became fully cleansed of the mud of the material modes and thereby achieved liberation, the path of Kapila. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The instructions of Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti are fully described in the third canto, chapters 25-32 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And anyone who follows the instructions can achieve the same liberation obtained by Devahuti. The Lord spoke Bhagavad Gita, and thereby Arjuna achieved self-realization. And even today, anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can also attain the same benefit as Sri Arjuna. The scriptures are meant for this purpose. Foolish, unintelligent persons make their own interpretations by imagination and thus mislead their followers, causing them to remain in the dungeon of material existence. However, simply by following the instructions imparted by Lord Krishna or Lord Kapila, one can attain the highest benefit even today. The word Atmagatim is significant in the sense of perfect knowledge of the Supreme. One should not be satisfied simply by knowing the qualitative equality of the Lord and the living being. One should know the Lord as much as can be known by our limited knowledge. It is impossible for the Lord to be known perfectly as he is, even by such liberated persons as Shiva or Brahma. So what to speak of other demigods or men in this world? Still, by following the principles of the great devotees and the instructions available in the scriptures, one can know to a considerable extent the features of the Lord. His Lordship Kapila, the incarnation of the Lord, instructed his mother fully about the personal form of the Lord, and thereby she realized the personal form of the Lord and was able to achieve a place in the Vaikuntha Loka where Lord Kapila predominates. Every incarnation of the Lord has his own abode in the spiritual sky. Therefore, Lord Kapila also has a separate Vaikuntha planet. The spiritual sky is not void. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and in each of them, the Lord, by his innumerable expansions, predominates, and the pure devotees who are there also live in the same style as the Lord and his eternal associates. When the Lord descends personally, or by his personal plenary expansion, such incarnations are called Amsha, Kala, Guna, Yuga, and Manvantara incarnations. And when the Lord's associates descend by the order of the Lord, such incarnations are called Shaktya, Vesha incarnations. But in all cases, all the incarnations are supported by the invulnerable statements of the authorized scriptures and not by any imagination of some self-interested propagandist. Such incarnations of the Lord, in either of the above categories, always declare the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate truth. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Truth is just a process of negation of the form of the Lord from the mundane conception of the Supreme Truth. The living entities, by their very constitution, are spiritually as good as the Lord, and the only difference between them is that the Lord is always supreme and pure without contamination by the modes of material nature, whereas the living entities are apt to be contaminated by association with the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. This contamination by the material modes can be washed off completely by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate issue, and therefore those who are directly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord not only acquire the necessary knowledge and spiritual science, but also attain detachment from material connection and are thus promoted to the kingdom of God by complete liberation, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita in the 14th chapter, text 26. Mamjiyo vyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati chaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Even in the non-liberated stage, a living entity can be directly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, or his plenary expansions like Rama or Narasingha. Thus, with the proportionate improvement of such transcendental devotional service, the devotee makes definite progress towards Brahma Gatim or Atma Gatim and ultimately attains Kapilasya Gatim or the abode of the Lord without difficulty. The antiseptic potency of devotional service to the Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in the present life of a devotee. A devotee does not need to wait for his next birth for complete liberation. Okay. Yajne chakardama grake dvija devahucham sri vi samamnava piratma gatim sumatre uche yatma shamalam gunasanga pankam asmin vituya kapilasya gatim prapede. So Om Ganat Madandasha Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So two topics I want to talk about this morning in relationship to this class. One is Lord Kapila himself, who is the son of Devahuti and Kardama, which is an interesting story. So once upon a time, Manu was looking for a husband for his daughter. And his daughter's name was Devahuti. And Devahuti, being in the family of Manu, was a Kshatriya lady. And they finally found Kardama. And Kardama was a what? Sage. But what was his varna?
Brahmana.
So sometimes there's a problem when you marry someone of a different caste to another person who is a different caste. And there's two types of inter-caste marriages. One is called Pratilom, and the other one's called Anulom. I'm going to ask you later about this, Keshav. So Anulom means where you have a higher caste man marrying a lower caste woman. And the Pratilom is when you have a higher caste woman more qualified, you know, let's say a Brahmin, marrying a lower class man. So the Pratilom is generally not recommended. Because, for example, if you have a very higher class lady and she's interested in chanting Hare Krishna, reading the Shastras, and the man is interested, let's say he's a Vaishnava making money, it doesn't work too well, does it? No, but she said, let's read the Shastras. And he says, no, let's do business. So it doesn't work. So you have to have compatibility. When people get married, they should consider that they're both usually of equal status, or one has to adjust to the other, which is really hard. It's really hard adjusting to someone who has a different nature. So, in the case of Devahuti and Kardama, it's called an Anulom marriage, where Devahuti was of a lower caste than Kardama. So in other words, Kardama was a Brahmin, Devahuti was Kshatriya by caste. So ladies also have caste. You know, you have a Kshatriya lady, or a Brahmin lady, or a Vaishnava lady, or a Shudra lady, like that. Now these castes are not simply by birth. They're not by birth, they're by quality. So we have a very unusual circumstance. So Kardama, he was a very austere Brahmin. And Devahuti, she was used to a very opulent life. Because when you're brought up as a Kshatriya, guess what? You have a four-poster bed. You know what that is?
Yeah.
With like silk sheets.
Oh, is it the one that has four-poster?
Yeah, silk sheets. And you have the servants fanning you. It's described about Devahuti. She never even went out of the house. Her fat parents protected her. She just like played on the roof of the palace all the time. And she was so beautiful that one time there were some demigods flying by on the airplane. They saw her. They fell out of the airplane. Of course, demigods don't need parachutes. They don't get hurt. So anyway, they fainted. So anyway, she was very much protected by her father, Manu. So eventually the marriage was arranged, but Kardama, he didn't have any four-poster beds. Kardama didn't have too much money. He didn't have any silk saris to give his wife. He didn't have any earrings to give his wife. Pretty sad, isn't it? Especially when you're used to that. So she gets married, and she's so devoted to her husband, guess what? She gave all that up. Just like Sita Devi gave everything up to go to the forest with who?
With Ravana.
With Ravana?
With Ravana.
With Ram, not Ravana. She wasn't devoted to Ravana. And so she lived in the forest with basically tree bark type clothes. You know, they would stitch clothes from the tree bark, which is itches a lot. It's not very comfortable. And she wouldn't get a chance to do her hair so much. And very difficult situation. So anyway, Devahuti adjusted, and she adjusted to her husband's austerities as described. Her hair wasn't combed, and basically, you know, her body was very, very thin after many, many years. So Kardama Muni, being a very powerful Brahmin, appreciated very much his wife's austerities. And what did he do? Do you remember the story? Does anyone know? He created a beautiful airplane which had a palace in it so she could enjoy herself. And so not only was there a palace in the airplane, there were many servants in the airplane, and they were serving her, they were decorating her body. Finally, she got all the jewelry she was accustomed to getting. And so Kardama and her flew around in this airplane after they finished their austerities that he created with his mystic powers. This is Kindy here. So he created with his mystic powers this airplane. And then they had some children. And first of all, they had daughters. Why do they have daughters? Does anyone know? Because when the lady is more enthusiastic about having children than the men, then women come out, daughters come out. The Prabhupada said that. Did you know that? So with your sister, your mother was more enthusiastic to have children. And with you, your father was more enthusiastic to have children. Prabhupada said that.
Yeah,
Prabhupada actually said that. So anyway, So Devahuti, she was so relieved after all these austerities that she just had a bunch of daughters. You know, 9 daughters. Then, all of her daughters got married and they left home. This is tradition in the Indian system, right? And then her husband got ready to leave home too. And she said, well, you can't leave home unless you leave me a son. So they had a son, and the son's name was what? Hey, Keshav, what's the son of Kardama and Devahuti name? The whole verse is about this person.
Kapila?
Yeah.
Oh.
So pay attention. Or else you don't get any chocolate later on. So, So they had Kapila, and then Kardama could leave home. And Lord Kapiladeva, who was an incarnation of Krishna, was able to instruct his mother in a process of yoga called what? What type of yoga? Sankhya yoga. And Sankhya yoga means to count. What does it mean to count? It means to count the material elements. It's one of the 6 darshans, traditional darshans. You know, there's Sankhya, there's yoga, there's Mimamsa. There's Veda. Anyway, there's so many different darshans that are described. So there's 6 of them. So Sankhya is one of them, and it's an analysis. It counts the material elements: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Those are the 8. Then it has the senses and the sense objects, and then you have the soul, the super soul, and you end up. Some systems of Sankhya end up with 24, some end up with 25 elements, depending on whether or not you consider the super soul to be one of the elements. So in any case, he taught the Sankhya to his mother, and his mother took shelter of him. He preaches to his mother, and that's what you hear about later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he then leaves and takes sannyas too. But because she has this knowledge, she is completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And her knowledge came from her son. So that's Lord Kapiladeva, who is an incarnation of Krishna. Now, another interesting point from this purport that Prabhupada makes, that each incarnation of the Lord has its own planet in the spiritual world. In other words, Lord Kapiladeva has his own planet, Lord Ram has his own planet. And just to clarify something even more detailed, Prabhupada here is referring to the human incarnations of the Lord. Prabhupada said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the non-human form incarnations don't have planets. In other words, there's no planet for Macha, Kurma, Varaha. There's only planets for the human form incarnations of the Lord.
Is there a reason behind that?
You have to ask Krishna. But that's what Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya, in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So, according to a devotee's desire, he goes to a particular planet. Now, why wouldn't everyone want to go to Krishna Loka? Why? I'm going to answer the question. It's a rhetorical question. Why wouldn't they want to go? Because they have a specific relationship with an incarnation of the Lord, and it's not that everybody is meant to go to Krishna Loka. Even Lord Chaitanya's associates, some of them didn't go to Krishna Loka. I'm thinking of one. Actually, I'm thinking of two. One's name, one was Murari Gupta, who is an incarnation who of who, Keshav? Hanuman! He's an incarnation of Hanuman, and he took part in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya tried to encourage him just to chant Hare Krishna. And guess what happened? He said, I can't do it. I just want to chant what? Think about it. What does he want to chant? Jai Ram, Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Patita Pavana, Sita Ram, Raghupati Raghava, Rajaram, Hanuman, oh Hanuman. He didn't chant Hanuman. Because he wouldn't chant his own name. So therefore, and then Lord Chaitanya praised him. He said, how fortunate that someone is so devoted to his Ishta Devata, that means worshipable deity, or someone so devoted to his master. This is actually a good quality. That someone is devoted to the person who is their focus in devotional service. Even there's that story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, how Hanuman one time was called by Krishna in Dwarka to visit him. And Hanuman refused. And he was called by Garuda. Garuda came, carried the message, said, you got to come. And Hanuman said, no, I'm not going anywhere unless who calls me? Ram calls me. And Garuda said, you're coming whether you like it or not. And then Hanuman said, well, let's see about that, Garuda. And he taught Garuda a lesson. He hit Garuda with his tail, basically. And Garuda went flying back and ended up at Krishna's feet. And Krishna said, what happened? And Garuda said, Hanuman hit me with his tail. And Krishna said, why are you so proud? You think you're the most proud bird in creation? Actually, Garuda was so proud that one time he said to Krishna, you can't go anywhere without me. And what did Krishna do? Krishna put his arm on Garuda, and Garuda couldn't move. He was crushed. He taught him a lesson. So then Krishna said to Garuda, tell him that Ram is calling him. And then Krishna took the form of Ram, and he had Rukmini take the form of Sita Devi. Because Krishna and Ram are non-different. And then Hanuman was told that, and he flew back on his own power, and then he saw Ram and Sita, his worshipful deities. So that's the dedication that a particular devotee has for his particular form of the Lord. Another example is Anupama, the brother of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami's. Also, they tried to encourage him just to worship Krishna in Vrindavan. And he stayed up all night crying, I can't do it, I can't do it. Because I've sold my feet, my soul, my consciousness, my heart, not my feet. I sold my consciousness at the feet of Raghunath. Who's Raghunath? That's Ram. Okay, so you're listening? Taking notes? Good, because we're going to test you on this later on today. Every single thing I said. Therefore, the brothers praised him, and he went back to be with Ram. So this dedication, chastity, loyalty is there in the hearts of the devotees. And even though they know that Krishna Loka is the highest planet in the spiritual world, it's not that the Vaikuntha residents are in ignorance, still they're dedicated to their particular relationship. And even in Krishna Loka, the devotees are dedicated to their particular ras that they have with Krishna, whether it's Shantaras, Dasaras, Sakyaras, Vatsayaras, Madhuryaras. Of course, Shantaras doesn't
excuse me. Shantaras doesn't appear purely in Krishna Loka. It must be mixed with Dasha. The servant. Servitude. Because Shantaras by itself, just pure Shantaras is impersonalism. But Shantaras must have some service because that's the constitutional position of the living entity. Jivera Swarupa Hoya Nitya Krishna Das. So anyway, of course, we in the Krishna Consciousness Movement primarily are dedicated to Vrajendra Nandana, and most of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are situated in the conjugal ras, and the devotees of Lord Nityananda are situated in Sakya ras. But there are some exceptions in this. So, and that's all right. We don't criticize. Not that one is better or one is worse than the other one. Everybody in the spiritual world is perfectly situated. Okay, so we'll end the discussion. Any questions or comments from anybody? Because the natives are getting restless again. We got three natives here. Yeah.
Maharaj, you said that the non-human forms of the Lord don't have
planets in the spirit. Prabhupada said that. Yeah.
Would Lord Narasimha fall into that?
Prabhupada said the non-human form, so it's a non-human form.
Okay. The reason I asked is because I've heard devotees say that you go to Narasimha Loka or something, he has his own planet.
I've never seen that described in the literatures. All I know is what Prabhupada said, presenting in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. When he had, there's this whole chapter about incarnations in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's not there in the CC, but in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya it's there. So we follow the disciplic succession. Anything we say, we have to have shastric reference for. Anything we say that's on the spiritual platform. Obviously, there's material things that we say, like, for example, we talk about driving a car, what's the right direction, what's the best car. That's relative. What's the best car for you, Keisha?
What's the best one?
Yeah, what would you consider to be the best car?
There'll be a lot.
A what?
There'll be a lot.
Well, the very best.
Bugatti Veyron.
Who? Bugatti Veyron. Wow, Bugatti. So I would not consider that the best. I would consider the best to be a Rolls Royce. So there's a difference of opinion. But my opinion is not absolute. Because I'm not speaking from Shastra. You understand the point? So even if someone is a great devotee, and of course I'm not saying I'm a great devotee, but even if someone was a great devotee, and they said that they liked a Mercedes or a Rolls Royce or a Lamborghini. You know what a Lamborghini is? That's not an absolute statement, even if they're a pure devotee. We have to be able to understand the difference. This is called hermeneutics, understanding the difference between an absolute statement and a relative statement. But if they say Krishna is God, chanting the holy names is the absolute best way to reach Krishna, that's an absolute statement. So when a pure devotee is speaking from Shastra, that's absolute. But when he's speaking about something that's not from Shastra, that can be taken as relative. Very, very important. You know, so Prabhupada said, my favorite food is club jamuns. That doesn't mean my favorite food has to be club jamuns too. You know, my favorite food may be quinoa. Prabhupada may say, I don't like quinoa. And I may say, I like quinoa. So it's not that I'm committing a mad elephant offense because I like quinoa. And Prabhupada didn't like quinoa. I don't know. I never heard Prabhupada talk about quinoa. We didn't have quinoa when Prabhupada was on the planet. So it's important to understand when the guru is speaking relatively and when he's speaking absolutely, and not confuse the two. Because the guru is also a person, and he may have opinions about different things on the relative platform. And therefore the disciple has the right on the relative platform to to talk about, discuss things like that. Like if the guru says, I think you should open up a temple, Keshav, in, let's see, find out some far out place, Papua New Guinea.
Oh, okay.
And you say, okay. You say, okay. And but you have a right to present your guru, but from Papua New Guinea, people have these darts and they kill you there. You listening, Keshav? Then I can hear your opinion and decide. So you have a right to give your opinion to the guru and have a discussion with the guru. It's not that I'm going to Papua New Guinea and then you die from the people shooting these poison darts at you. So you have a right.
Do they actually do that?
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Ah, they still do in the jungle. When the devotees go there for business, they have to go with bodyguards.
Well, they have to wear a lot of protective armor.
Well, they go into the jungle, they do. There's still some people, very primitive people in Papua New Guinea. Not in the cities, of course. In the cities, people are less, are more primitive, but in a different way. All right, I think everybody's getting restless. It's an issue when you have a lot of children. We have very small children here, so thank you all for joining. We have 52 people joining us this morning on the internet. We'll let you see all the little children. This is basically, this is the Hare Krishna kindy here.
That's Krishna. This one's Krishna.
Hello,
that's Keshav. He's 3.5. Keshav's 3.5. He just grew fast.
No, I'm 12.
I know, I'm just teasing.
Krishna, he's 2.
Yeah.
This is Priyansh. He's also 2.
And that's Govardhan. He's 35.
Well, I'm Isha.
How old are you?
I'm 13.
You're 13. And they're all chanting japa many, many rounds every day. So, Hare Krishna. And we got some semi-adults here, too. Jitendra, how old are you?
27.
Okay. Thank you very much. We had a lot of people, over 50 people watching us. We want to thank Anjani Singh, Anand Ravi, Ashwin Karecha, Radharani, Govinda Kiri from and Mayapur. Oh, one person had a disagreement with me. He said Tesla is the best car.
Oh.
See, what a mad elephant offense. He was from Hawaii, the person who made that comment. Terrible, mad elephant. No, I like Tesla too. Okay, all glories to Shil-